This is Asajj Ventress and Her Tiny Time-Traveling Conscience by Shadowsong 26.
Borzandopod is Luke Skywalker.
Litra as Asajj Ventress.
Bessibu is Anakin Skywalker.
Night Tracer is Ben Kenobi.
Cantarina is Ahsoka Tano.
Rena Jenkins is the narrator.
And Gondolin is the editor.
This is a Star Wars genfic rated teen and up, recorded for Out of the Auditory 2019. Additional thanks: outline format fic, unconventional format, cross-posted imported from Tumblr, time travel, AU outlines for the win, work in progress. Others and me. We all love time travel fics, right? Here's one with Luke. Tiny, precious, 10-year-old Luke. Who accidentally travels back in time to the last year and a half of the Clone Wars. And lands on Ventress. Chapter 1. So. Luke is off exploring slash goofing around, as bored kids do, and he comes across a narrow, winding little canyon he's never seen before.
Huh. Could have sworn I knew this part of the desert better than this.
Naturally, he decides to see where it leads. He finished his chores early today, and there's still a few hours before dark, so he has time.
Adventure!
Except... then things get...
weird.
He could swear he's only been walking an hour, but it's suddenly dark. And when he turns around to retrace his steps, all he sees is solid rock.
I've got a bad feeling about this.
There's no way to go but forward, so he does. Especially when he catches a glimpse of a campfire flickering up ahead. He knows there's a good chance whoever built it is not friendly. He's not an idiot, but he is beyond lost. He's got no supplies. He figures it's worth taking a chance. At least peeking a little closer. So he heads for the fire to ask for help. And there, he finds Ventress. Ventress has just finished a job. This is a few weeks after her and Obi-Wan versus Maul and Savage. Why is she camping in the desert?
Reasons.
So this random kid comes up to her. This bright, shiny, supernova in the force kid.
Okay, then.
Ventress really does not have time for this shit. When he asks her for help, she considers telling him to get lost. See above. Re, no time for this shit. Also, she's really, really uninterested in babysitting a brat who was stupid enough to wander off in the desert like this. Except the alternatives to keeping him are killing him.
Which would be pointless, really.
Also, she's not super interested in killing a random kid who's no threat to her at this point in her timeline, unless she's being paid for it. Or sending him off to a slow death via desert or sand people.
Which is just lazy. If you're going to kill someone, freaking do it.
Besides, maybe his parents will pay her if she brings him home. Not a lot. He's dressed like a small-time farmer. But hey, every penny counts.
You can stay here tonight.
Might as well keep her options open. He brightens.
My name's Luke.
I don't care. Go to sleep.
Things get... messy the next morning. See that bounty Ventress just collected? Someone else thinks it was his and resents her poaching. He and a bunch of his heavily armed friends track her down, catching up with her and Luke just as they're breaking camp. Naturally, a fight ensues. Ventress is exceptional, but vastly outnumbered. Luke, on the other hand, is tiny and inexperienced, but A, he knows the desert, B, he's a decent shot, and C, he can hotwire a speeder in under 30 seconds. Suffice it to say, with Luke being a major contributor, they kick some ass and escape unharmed on a speeder bike Luke stole from one of the other bounty hunters. Ventress grudgingly admits that the brat was kind of useful back there, and he possibly just saved her ass a little bit. Or at least spared her some inconvenient and painful injury. So maybe she shouldn't demand a ransom after all. She sighs, and instructs him to pull over so she can drive. Kid's good, but she has her dignity to think of. And tells him she'll take him home, make sure he gets there safe, then take the bike and leave. Things get weird again when they get to the Lars homestead. Luke has her stop at the edge of the property.
"This isn't right,"
he says, biting his lip. He thinks that...
"There's supposed to be another building right there. He and Uncle Owen just finished putting it up last season, and the closest vaporator is an old model. One he vaguely remembers trying to climb as a toddler before it was replaced. Also, he's pretty sure that old man is his step-grandfather, who died before he was even born."
"What about it?"
She can feel the force swirling around them, around Luke, like ripples spreading out from a stone dropped in a pond.
"This is my uncle's farm, but it's wrong."
And he sort of has a clue. Because there's stories about people wandering into the desert and coming back to find that years have passed in a night. But things are a different kind of wrong. He's never heard about anyone going backwards. Besides, that's all they were. Stories. Right?
"What year is it?"
Asajj quirks an eyebrow and tells him.
"That doesn't make sense."
He blurts out what year it's supposed to be. Which actually does make a weird amount of sense to her, because of the way he casts ripples in the Force, if nothing else. And honestly, she's seen weirder crap than time-traveling 10-year-olds.
"I led a zombie army, for crying out loud."
Luke is freaking out a little bit, so she slaps him to get him to shut up. She points out that while ideally he gets back to his own time, he still needs to survive until he figures out what the hell happened, let alone how to reverse it.
"Lucky for you, you have a home where you can wait all that out."
A part of her knows that's a stupid idea. Whatever brought him back here, either it'll work in its own damn time, or he'll need information he sure as hell won't get on a tiny farm in the middle of nowhere on frickin' Tatooine.
"They don't know me yet,"
he says sadly, scuffing the ground a little. No. She does not need a kid tagging along, especially one this bright with power, who has no idea how the world works. At least in the here and now. But he's quick on his feet, and he keeps a level head in a crisis.
"And he is a decent shot. And one hell of a getaway driver."
Besides, she can always ditch him later if he gets too annoying. Changing her mind in the other direction would be a lot harder.
"Fine, you can come with me. For now."
"Okay."
Where else would he go anyway? And thus begins the highly entertaining saga of Asajj Ventress luring 10-year-old time-traveling Luke Skywalker into a life of crime. Except, as the weeks and months pass, it becomes less her leading him into a life of crime.
"Well, it kind of is. He's really, really good at stealing cars and being a distraction."
And more, her evaluating jobs based on how sad Luke looks when she does something really unethical.
What? What the hell is this? Why do I give a damn what the brat thinks? I did not sign up for a portable external conscience. I am leaving him behind at the next port, I swear.
Except somehow, she never does. She picks jobs that won't disappoint Luke, and he uses his share of the profits to get shiny things that would
make our ship so cool, Asajj.
Eventually, she gives up and accepts the inevitable. For as long as Luke is stuck in the past, he's hers. She wishes sometimes that she could take him back to Dathomir and introduce him to her sisters. Important detail I forgot to mention before. She doesn't know his full name. He didn't give it when introducing himself, and she never bothered to ask. They probably have an encounter with Boba Fett at some point. Possibly Cad Bane or Hondo. Maybe even Baby Han and Orlando, because why not? So many possibilities. Fast forward a bit. Luke and Ventress are hanging out on Coruscant when she sees a familiar face with a bounty attached. Anakin's had some weird dreams the past few days.
Not bad, not threatening, just weird.
Ever since he got recalled to investigate the temple bombing, they've taken second place to said investigation, since they don't seem to be urgent or anything, but he's maybe a little bit distracted. Luke's been dreaming, too. He told Asajj about them. She tells him to keep track of them, and tries to guide him through looking for what actual useful information might be in them, but dreams have never really been her strong suit. Anyway, Ventress tells Luke to stay in the apartment and goes to investigate. The first bit with Ahsoka goes mostly as in canon, with an added incentive for her pardon. If she's free and clear, she can get Luke the help he needs to figure out his dreams and find his way home. Honestly, she's sort of surprised he hasn't caught any eyes yet, shiny and powerful as he is.
Jedi really are blind idiots. Wait, didn't Dooku's master live on Coruscant? Maybe I should take Luke somewhere safer. After I help Skywalker's brat and earn my pardon.
The part where she gets jumped by Barriss and loses her lightsabers goes as in canon too. Except she called Luke to let him know she was on her way home. And when she doesn't turn up, he goes looking for her. And then Anakin tracks her down. They fight. Ventress does her whole,
Ahsoka and I have a lot in common. My master abandoned me, and that's exactly what you did to her.
That's when she senses Luke getting close. And suddenly, it clicks.
Talk fast, Asajj, because there's no way this conversation ends well if Skywalker sees Luke now. With Tano still in play. Because if he gets distracted and delays and fails to save his apprentice because of us.
She gets out what she knows as quickly as possible. Except Anakin senses him too. And Ventress suddenly got tense and very to the point with none of her usual banter.
But Ahsoka needs me right now. I have to fix that first. But whatever's going on here is important.
He knows that with every fiber of his being. Besides, if Ventress is brushing him off, if she's lying to him, Anakin is this close to strangling her again when Luke comes charging in.
Asajj!
She tries to get between him and Skywalker before things get even more out of hand.
I told you to wait for me in the apartment.
Anakin is very confused right now because...
What the hell is going on? Okay, that's definitely the presence I felt approaching, but none of that explains why the hell Ventress has a kid with her. Let alone why this kid feels so familiar.
Luke peers up at Anakin with big, puzzled blue eyes, trying to answer some of the same questions in his own mind.
Don't you have an apprentice to save?
Ventress puts a hand on Luke's shoulder and pulls him behind her. Luke tries to wriggle past her, settles for peering out from behind her back.
Ventress?
Well, and isn't that rescue time-sensitive?
He continues to hesitate a breath longer. But she's right. He knows she's right.
Maybe we can help.
That, at least, seems to get through Skywalker's thick skull.
No, I've got this. But after I talk to Barriss...
I'll be here, Skywalker.
Then, realizing her mistake, claps a hand over Luke's mouth before he can blurt something out and hold the Jedi here any longer, and wriggles the fingers of her other hand in Anakin's general direction.
Run along now.
He almost rises to the bait, then glances at Luke and turns and leaves again. Ventress relaxes once Skywalker's gone and lets go of Luke's mouth.
He is not a navigator.
No. Who told you he was?
My uncle. He didn't talk about him much. He died before I was born.
Ventress has a very bad feeling about the future. And she does some quick mental math.
Oh, carking hell.
She takes Luke back to the apartment and starts grilling him for details.
Which I now realize I probably should have done a long damn time ago.
Anakin, meanwhile, goes back to the temple to confront Barriss. He's still at least partway focused on that kid in the alley, which might slightly affect the outcome of their duel. In the end, though, she does still get captured, and Ahsoka's innocence is still proven, though. And Ahsoka still leaves. So he's still reeling on several levels when he goes back to look for Ventress and the kid. He doesn't have to look too hard. She lets him find them in an alley not too far from where they separated.
Are you okay?
Sure.
Luke looks up at Ventress, uncertain.
Not here.
She leads the way back to her apartment.
I keep dreaming about you. I mean, I think I'm dreaming about you. It's all sort of vague.
Anakin thinks back on his own weird dreams the last few days and nods. He has
some kind of connection with this kid, and I can almost...
He stops in the middle of the street.
Not here.
Luke takes his hand and tugs it. They get to the apartment, and Luke confirms what Anakin had started to guess.
I'm Luke Skywalker. I'm from the future. And I'm your son.
For a minute, Anakin just stares at him because...
This can't be real.
He and Padme are so careful.
And time travel is not a thing.
But he can feel the truth of what Luke is telling him. Ventress waits until he settles, then follows up with a bombshell of her own.
You know I'm not your friend, or your orders, but I'm Luke's friend, and based on what he told me about how and where he grew up, raised by people I had never heard of, and believe me, I know who most of your friends are. So we think something awful is about to happen. We don't know what exactly, but a lot of people are going to die. And I suppose we want to help stop it.
Chapter 2. We left off with Ventress and Luke dropping one hell of a bombshell on Anakin. And we will get back to them, I promise. But first, let's go back, forward, and look in on what happens when 10-year-old Luke vanishes into thin air. So, 10 years in the future, and roughly 6 months in the past, time travel is weird. Ben Kenobi finds out that Luke has disappeared. He does not panic. He is very good at not panicking.
As much as I really want to.
He sends a brief message along a channel he hasn't used in a decade, letting Bail Organa know there is a problem, but they're still half a step shy of the true nightmare scenario. I.e., there's no actual evidence that Luke was found by the Empire or Vader as an individual.
But he's still gone.
He then goes to see Owen. To coordinate, at least, though he's still optimistic enough to hope for actual collaboration, however much the two of them clash on any number of things. The two of them have their most civil conversation in years.
Remarkable. How a crisis brings people together.
Honestly, though, he'd rather fight with Owen again than be in this situation. And he knows they'll go back to butting heads once Luke is home and safe. As they always have in the past, even after extreme moments have forced them together.
And that moment cannot come too soon.
Together with Beru, they divide up the likely places where Luke might have wandered off on his own and run into trouble. Ben even attempts to contact Ayark, but he has no idea where she is right now. If she's even alive. If the moderate goodwill he has managed to establish with her so many years ago would be enough for her to help him now. As Ben wanders through the desert, searching, there's something shimmering on the edge of his awareness. Not dark, but not like anything he's sensed before. He asks Qui-Gon, but he hasn't experienced anything of the kind either. On instinct, he turns in that direction, and comes across a gorge that he knows wasn't there before. Granted, it has been several months since he went through this area, but it doesn't seem like a rock feature that's been simply buried in sand for years and come uncovered in a storm. And something like this does not appear in mere months. And he can hear...
voices, maybe? Music? Traffic? Not sounds one expects to hear in one of the more remote parts of Tatooine's desert.
He closes his eyes and weighs his options.
If Luke went through that canyon, it would explain how he managed to vanish so completely, with no hint of danger beforehand.
But if he hadn't? And Ben went through there and ended up... he had no idea where he'd end up, other than that he would no longer be in a position to protect Luke if that were the case. Still, despite the risks, everything is telling him to go through the canyon. So he does. Just like with Luke, it seals up behind him once he's partway through. No turning back now. Even if he was having second thoughts. Also, this is a magic time travel canyon. It doesn't have to make sense or go to the same time or place twice. It goes where it wants. So, Ben steps out of the canyon and into an alley on Coruscant. This is maybe not the last place he expected to end up.
No, it's pretty much the last place I expected to end up.
And now he's back to the nightmare scenario, because...
if this is where Luke went...
on the other hand, Coruscant feels...
strange. And far more familiar than it should. After just over a decade under Palpatine's rule.
Meanwhile, back in the past, Ahsoka has officially left the Jedi Order. She's been just sort of wandering for a few hours since walking away from Anakin on the temple steps, trying to figure out what to do with herself.
Do I stay here on Coruscant? I need money, probably. What resources do I have to draw on that aren't... Hey, wait, is that Obi-Wan? I think it is, but that's weird. He looks a lot older than he did a few hours ago.
She decides to approach him, despite how unsettled she still is, and the fact that she just left.
And what if he was one of the ones who voted to expel me? No, I don't think he was, but... Because why is he down here? Did something go horribly wrong? Did Anakin do something incredibly stupid to blow off steam and get himself blown up again?
Ben is still reeling when he hears a familiar voice calling his name. One he hasn't heard in a long, long time.
Ahsoka?
I thought it was you.
And now he's confused. She's much more subdued than he remembers. Also, Togruta age at approximately the same rate as humans, but she is still clearly in her mid-teens.
Wait.
It doesn't take him more than a split second to process and accept this. Time travel, after all, is far from the most unbelievable thing he has experienced.
What just happened?
I was about to ask you the same thing.
No, I mean specifically what... I need to know where I am. Can you...
He takes in her missing lightsabers, her missing beads, and where they are. He doesn't really need her answer at that point, but she still gives it.
I left the Order, like, 4 hours ago. I'm not really sure it sunk in just yet. But you should know that. What's going on, Obi-Wan?
And he doesn't answer her right away, because just now, he is having a moment. Because, on the one hand, here is one of his nearest and dearest who clearly needs a hug or some kind of comfort.
On the other hand, Luke is still missing.
On the other hand, he's back in the past. And he is, several months at least, possibly as long as a year. He's having a little trouble lining up the calendar in his head because...
I can fix things. Anakin isn't too far gone yet.
He has to believe that. He can save him. He can save everyone. But Luke is still missing, and that has to be a priority. Or, alternatively, he could also just go and stab Palpatine in the face right now.
The idea has a certain appeal. No.
No. He needs to coordinate with other people. People who are actually from, or more recently familiar with, this time. Make sure he doesn't somehow screw things up even worse. Palpatine and Dooku may have had some kind of contingency plan, after all. And a power vacuum could be... well, not as bad as the future he's trying to prevent, but still bad. Also, he has to find Luke. The question then becomes, who does he contact? He doesn't even know how to approach all of this with the Council. And Padme is not an option for the same reason. How can he tell her how badly everything ended in the world he knew? How can he break her like that?
Bail is possibly an option.
But they aren't necessarily particularly close yet, if he's even on Coruscant at the moment. Ben can't recall. And he doesn't want to take the time to go to Alderaan. So reaching out to Bail is probably not the best option, but he holds on to that thought for now. Honestly, the smartest thing might well be to contact himself. Except, he realizes with some chagrin, he can't recall his old comm frequency. And he certainly can't wander into the temple, into his old rooms, and say,
Good evening. I am from the worst possible future. Let's put our heads together and stop the world from ending.
He could... No. He has no idea how he'll... He knows sooner or later he'll see... He can't start there. He could, theoretically, just operate with himself and Ahsoka. Yes, that's probably the best option. He can leave out strategic details like he's already planning to do with Luke. Ahsoka, meanwhile, is sort of taking this all in and...
Okay, this is super weird.
Naturally, she decides to call Anakin. Because who else does she call when Obi-Wan is being weird? Granted, this situation more often goes in the other direction, but still. So, Anakin, as we have seen previously, is having a day. And was slightly distracted during his duel with Barriss, which may become relevant later. But his comlink chimes, and it's actually not Obi-Wan again. He has been ducking Obi-Wan's calls. His Obi-Wan, the one he knows, the one from this timeline, since the trial, because he had to track Ventress and that kid down, and...
Holy shit, where do I start?
Also, he figures he should probs talk to Padme before he talks to Obi-Wan. Anyway, a call from Ahsoka, though. While he really doesn't want to pull his attention away from the issue at hand, this is not something he can ignore.
Maybe she changed her mind. Maybe she's coming back.
Hey, so, Obi-Wan's here with me, and things are very weird.
I can't, I know I've been ducking his calls, but I can't right now.
Ben has another moment in the background when he hears Anakin's voice.
He's been calling me all day, but things are really weird here, Snips. Tell him all,
Okay, see, now it just got weirder, because he's been here with me for a while, and he hasn't called anyone since we ran into each other.
Okay, except he definitely called like 5 minutes ago. But I don't even know where to begin to explain what's going on right now. There's things I haven't,
He can't really tell Ahsoka about him and Padme. Not before he tells Obi-Wan, and not before he tells Padme about Luke.
Ventress, stop laughing at me! Luke, I'll introduce you to my friends later. Give me a minute, okay? Shit. How do I even talk to a 10-year-old, let alone my 10-year-old? Why do I have a 10-year-old?
Look, the short version is apparently time travel is real and I'm...
Ben's attention is immediately caught and he gestures for Ahsoka to pass him the comlink. She does. He braces himself.
Anakin?
And then everything comes spilling out.
So apparently I have a son in the future, and I swear I was going to do this right. I was going to tell you everything, but then the war happened, and I couldn't.
Or, well, almost everything. Here's what he doesn't say.
We don't know how, but based on everything he said, things are going to go very, very wrong, and I think I'm going to die in the next year, and normally that wouldn't really bother me. But why isn't he with Padme, or you, or hell, even Master Windu? How the hell did he end up with my stepbrother on Tatooine?
It's all right.
Because this part is Anakin's relationship with Padme. He'd known from pretty much the moment they came back from Naboo, after all. Though not the extent of things until sometime later. Either way, he's always been willing to turn a blind eye, and that...
Maybe if I'd actually said so the first time around, he wouldn't have been so dependent on Palpatine. Maybe...
No. He can't think like that. He can't blame himself for Anakin's... for Vader's decision. He can only try and make things better now.
But I need to know. I need to know, is Luke with you now?
Yeah! Yeah, he is. He's, well, technically he's with Ventress. Apparently they're friends now.
He sounds half hysterical, and Ben can't quite blame him.
Ventress?
Ben is truly, completely thrown by this. Of all the possible consequences and encounters and adventures Luke might have had in the past, making friends with Asajj Ventress was about the last thing Ben would have guessed. The nightmare scenario, of course. Himself, or one of the clones. Ahsoka. His mother. Voss, one of the other generals. Hell, Hondo would have seemed a likelier prospect than Ventress. A brief scramble on the other side, and yes, yes, that's another familiar voice he thought he'd never hear again.
Yes, Kenobi. You know, this will probably be a hell of a lot easier if you come meet us.
Yes. Before I do, I should tell you. You may have guessed. I may have implied already, but I'm not. I came here tracking Luke.
More scrambling at the other end. And another voice comes through.
Ben?
Ben is extremely relieved. Luke is alive and seems safe and unharmed.
How the hell he ended up in Ventress's custody, on the other hand, is still a mystery. Well, that's a problem to be solved later. Right now, the priorities are figure out how to fix this timeline and get Luke home. The reverse order would actually be ideal, but it's possible to work on the first while trying to unravel how to do the second.
Good. Maybe you can give us some actual intel to go on. Luke doesn't know a damn thing. All we can piece together is something awful is going to happen sometime in the next year.
That is the single biggest understatement I have ever heard in my life.
She wants to help us, Obi-Wan.
Anakin wrestles the comm back from her and sounds like this is just one more thoroughly impossible thing to happen today, and he is rapidly approaching his limit of impossible things.
Help us stop whatever is coming.
And there's something else there, too. Another familiar note to his voice.
Are you all right?
Sure, yeah, it's just a lot to take in.
Ben doesn't entirely believe him there, but he'll deal with that when they meet up.
All right. Where can I meet you?
Anakin gives him the address.
I'll be there as soon as I can.
He turns to Ahsoka, who just nods at him. Figuring out her place in the world with relation to the Order or anything else can wait. Because if Anakin has a kid who he clearly didn't raise, who knows Obi-Wan by another name, who's now with Ventress.
I'm in too, Sky Guy,
she says, because he'll probably need to hear it.
I'm still not coming back, but I'm in for this.
Okay.
He sounds relieved and scared and so many other things she can't name.
We'll see you soon, in about a half hour, all right?
Another glance at Ahsoka. He's forgotten travel times, traffic patterns, so his estimate may be off, but she doesn't correct him.
Yeah. Master...
Ben's heart constricts a little bit, and he hangs up quickly. He can't! Just hearing Anakin... He's dreamed of that so often, of things being as they were, and when they get there, he'll have to compose himself. He will be able to handle it then. But at the moment, Ahsoka blinks at him. He doesn't say anything for a moment.
I can't. Until I decide what to tell Anakin, which I don't know. I don't know if it would be better or worse to tell him the whole truth about where he's I can't tell Ahsoka. Not until I've spoken with him.
But he has to say something.
The future is... in the future.
Oh. Oh.
And then she hugs him. He didn't quite realize how much he needed that until he finds himself clinging back. Halfway across Coruscant, Anakin slumps against the wall, staring at the now silent comlink.
Did Obi-Wan just hang up on me?
He shakes it off.
I should call.
Because Padme should be brought in on this as soon as possible. And while he's slightly concerned about spilling everything to Ventress, he's sort of screwed on that front anyway.
Luke's mother?
Luke immediately perks up, curious.
Does he not know? But Obi-Wan...
Anakin is finding it hard to keep track of the questions he wants to ask / needs answered.
Let me talk to her first, all right?
Okay.
Okay, I'll be outside, just for a minute.
Ventress looks a little disappointed.
She's curious, is all. Look, there's a reason she never really tried flirting with Skywalker. Distraction or no, it doesn't actually work very well, or isn't much fun, with someone so obviously taken. So, she has some very strong suspicions on who the mother might be, but, well, she'd only seen the two of them actually interact once, from a distance. And she hadn't thought even Skywalker would actually be stupid enough to get down to business with that pretty senator. Granted, Luke was pretty clear evidence of that, but he wasn't actual proof, which she wanted because... All right, she hasn't placed any actual bets on it. Who would she have been wagering with anyway? But if she had, she wants to know how right she was, that's all.
Anakin decides he's happier not knowing. He pushes himself off from the wall and accidentally pushes the room away instead.
Dad!
That's a very strange feeling. Dad.
Dad? He said he was okay.
Because he's an idiot.
Shut up. Not you, Luke.
He feels Ventress's hands easing him back onto the floor, which is maybe starting to steady out a little.
Don't move, Skywalker.
But he barely hears her, because Luke is on his other side, pressing his mechanical hand.
It's okay, Dad. Everything's gonna be okay, right?
He nods a little, closes his eyes.
Right. Everything's going to be just fine.
And then Ventress finds the burn on his side, and everything goes black. To be continued.